Hello, I am Minister Laura Mitchell from the Membership Services Department. In keeping with new technology, we have now provided the Perfecting Class lessons in CD form. The Perfecting Classes, or the Covenant Promises for Abundant Living classes, have been established by our Bishop Hilliard to assist the members of New Light Church in learning the Word of God, and to help you develop in the flow of teaching in this ministry. The Perfecting Classes covers the orientation, the seven promises for abundant living, the biblical heritage factor, and how to get involved in your church. The seven promises for abundant living is the foundation of what Bishop and Lady Bridget teaches. These promises are salvation, baptism with the Holy Ghost, the authority of the believer, answered prayer, divine healing, and the promise to honor our faith and prosperity. These lessons have been designed to give you only a brief introduction to these subjects. As a new member, this is what we would like for you to do. Please listen to the Perfecting Class lessons on CD. After listening to the CD, please complete the included questionnaire. Please complete the completion verification card. Please turn both in into the Membership Service Department. After receiving your completed questionnaire and completion verification card, you will receive a Covenant Promise completion card. Please continue to listen to this CD and hear how you can get involved and be a part of the Excellence Ministry team. Again, thank you for being a part of the church like no other. Welcome to the light. We know that you've made one of the most important decisions of your life, and we do not take that for granted. It is our sincere desire that your life be enriched tremendously by being a part of this church. Pastor states in his appeal that it is his commitment to you to always stand before you anointed of God and to provide the necessary staff to meet every spiritual need of you and your family. Our ministry is structured as Dr. Hilliard serving as the senior pastor to all of the New Light Christian Center Church locations. The Holy Bible is the undisputed authority for our church's order and discipline. It sets the guidelines and governments for our church through its principles and its precepts. Here's what we believe and teach. We believe in the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is true God and true man. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. We believe that it is the will of God that every believer be filled with the Holy Ghost. We believe that healing is provided in the redemptive work of Christ for every believer. We believe that there shall be a bodily resurrection of the just and the unjust. We believe in the personal, visible, intimate return of Jesus Christ. And our church motto is, we're building people of purpose, power, and praise. The Covenant Promises for Abundant Living classes is based on the scripture found in John 10:10. John 10:10 states, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." We have a variety of ministries and fellowship within our church to meet the needs of the entire family. We have the nursery, children's ministry, teens ministry. We have lamps. We have life. We have a variety of ministries and fellowships within our church to meet the needs of the entire family. Here's just a few. We have nursery. We have the children's ministry. We have teens ministry. We have maximized marriage classes. We have senior saint fellowship. And we have singles fellowship. That's only naming a few. Here's how you can get the most from your membership. Number one, attend services. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Secondly is, study the word daily. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Our service times at the north location is 9 a.m. Our service time at the south location is 11:30 a.m. Our service time at the east location is 10:30 a.m. Our service time at the west location is 8 a.m. and 12 noon. Our service times at the Golden Triangle location is 9 a.m. and at our Austin location, 9 a.m. We have Bible study in our Austin and Beaumont locations at 7:30 p.m. We have Bible study at the north, east, west, and south at 7:30 p.m. every Wednesday. Here's how you can get involved. The Excellence Ministry Team of New Light consists of various groups of volunteer workers who assist the pastoral and the ministerial staff in meeting the spiritual needs of the membership and all those who attend service. The Excellence Ministry Team consists of those in the altar workers, the audio workers, the cassette workers, children's ministry, courtesy officer, drama ministry, greeter, jail ministry. We have music ministry. We have the nursery workers, audience workers, personal ministry workers, phone ministry, intercessory prayer ministry. We have shuttle ministry. We have special care ministry, technical force ministry. We have teens ministry, ushers, and video workers. I know you find yourself in one of those places. The excellence ministry criteria is as follows. Number one, you must complete 9 Covenant Promises classes and the orientation. Number two, you have to be a faithful tither for at least 3 months. And you must have regular weekly attendance in one Sunday and one weekly service. You must have victory in manifestation for at least 6 months in the areas of smoking, drinking, narcotics, or illicit sex. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And also, lastly, you must be living a lifestyle that is consistent with Christian principles, Dr. Hilliard's vision, and the rules and regulation governing the HELP ministry. Membership service is here for you. Our membership service department serves as the customer service department for our members. Everything from baby dedications, weddings, hospital visits, and funerals are done at the membership service department. Even questions concerning the scriptures or a lesson that Pastor Hilliard has taught can be answered through our membership service department by a full-time staff minister. If you just need someone to pray and be in agreement with you, please call Membership Services. The Membership Services phone number is 281-876-5300. Thank you again. Lesson 1, The Promise of Salvation. The objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to God's purpose for man and his plan for salvation. God's purpose for man has been established in principle through Adam. You can turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1 and 26. God's purpose for man has been established in principle through Adam. You can read in Genesis 1 in verse 26. The first principle is fellowship with God. The second principle is be a representative of God in the earth. The third principle is to be an expression of God's lordship. Fourthly, to be fruitful and multiply. And lastly, take care of the things of God. Of course, Satan interfered with man's purpose, and we find that in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 1. He interfered by causing Eve to doubt who she was. He interfered by causing Eve to doubt what God said. He interfered by enticing Adam into violating the command of God. But thank God that the plan of salvation has been revealed through Scripture and it was redeemed by Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." This scripture lets us know that man is a sinner by birth and not by performance. Man's disobedience brought the sin death. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Thank God that he provided the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," and that's you, "believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The gift of salvation is received by faith and not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's a faith process for salvation. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So firstly, you heard the message of salvation. Then secondly, you believed and received the sin debt that was paid by Jesus. You confessed that Jesus was your Lord. And now begins the mind renewing process. And you are determined to have God's best. Lesson 2, the promise of the Holy Ghost. The objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the promise of the Holy Ghost and the benefits of speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is an act after salvation. Jesus says that the believer should receive the Holy Ghost. John 7:37-39 says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The Holy Ghost is an endowment, or it's an anointing of power for service. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now your Jerusalem and your Judea is right where you are. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. So the Holy Spirit works on the inside of you. Jesus is the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost. Luke 3:16 says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with water, with the Holy Ghost, and with fire. The baptism with the Holy Ghost can take place before water baptism, or it can take place after water baptism. One of the most common evidence of a person being filled with the Holy Ghost is that they speak in other tongues. Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Acts 10:44-47 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. So the most common evidence of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit is that they speak in tongues. That's how they heard them, because they were speaking. The benefits of speaking in tongues is you will have a more effective prayer life. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The second benefit of speaking in tongues is you release the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14 says, But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom understandeth, but which the Holy Ghost teach it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The third thing that happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit is you build up yourself in faith. Jude 1:20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you pray in your prayer language, you are building yourself up. Sort of like if you went to the gym and your muscles was not as profound, but as you began to lift weights and continually to do it, soon you'll see that your muscles have become where you can see them. They're more profound. And once you're filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in your prayer language, it will build you up also. Lesson 3. the promise of the believer's authority in the earth. Now get your Bibles out now. Objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the promise of the believer's authority in the earth. Yes, you as a believer have authority in this earth. Authority was given to Adam, and Adam represents all mankind. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So you have been given authority. The definition of authority is the delegated power and permission to rule, to govern, or to manage according to a predetermined plan. Authority is the right to exercise power. Of course, Adam forfeited his authority when he sinned, giving Satan control. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." This may come as a shock to you, but God is not in control of this world system. Satan is. And we just read that in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Of course, in Romans 5:17, we will see where Jesus restored man's right to exercise authority. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Jesus delegated authority to the disciples in Luke 10:19. We as believers have authority both in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm in all matters pertaining to God's will for our life. And man's authority covers three areas. Number one, we have authority over Satan. Luke 10:17-19 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." He says, "Behold, I give unto you power." So that power, that authority has been given to you as a believer. Secondly, you have authority over self. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then turn to Romans 8:1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So you have authority over self. Then thirdly, you have authority over situations. Mark 4:35-41 says, "But the same day when the eve was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." That was the goal, to pass over to the other side. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship," talking about Jesus, "he was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, the disciples awoke him, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And listen what he said to them. He says, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus wanted them to take authority over that situation. Jesus wants you to take authority over every situation in your life that does not line up with the Word of God. Authority is released by the words of your mouth. So you have to open your mouth and say something. Just like you just saw Jesus spoke to the wind and the storm, you have to open your mouth and you have to speak to the wind, the storms, the situations, the circumstances in your own life. When Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan came to him, he had to speak what the Word of God has to say about him. Read that scripture. It's in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Read what the Word of God says. You have to speak what the Word of God says about your situation. Hallelujah. Lesson 4, the promise of divine healing. We will use 3 questions to guide us through the course of this lesson. Question number 1 will be, what is God's will concerning healing? Question number 2 will be, why do people get sick? And question number 3 will be, how is healing ministered according to Scripture? So let's answer question number 1. God's will concerning healing. God's will concerning healing is revealed in Scripture. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. Psalms 103, 2 and 3 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. He heals all thy diseases. Nothing is left out of all. All means all. Isaiah 53, 5 says, But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. And look at what 1 Peter 2 and 24 says. It says, Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So here you see Isaiah saying we are healed, and then you see 1 Peter saying ye were healed. So if you are healed and you were healed, you is healed by the stripes of Jesus. And then look what John 3:3-2 says. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That is God's will for you. His will is that you prosper and be in health. So where they have beloved at, put your name there. Put your name there. I can put mine's. Mine's could say, Laura, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Let's go to question number 2. Why do people get sick? Well, the first reason why people get sick is because of human error. People fail to properly clothe themselves or protect their bodies or any number of things like that. But human error is the first thing. We find an example of that in 2 Kings 4:38-41. And it says, And Elijah came again to Gilgad, and there was a drought in the land, and the sons of the prophet were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot and soothe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. And he gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full and came and shred them unto the pot of partridge, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the portrait, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, Pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. You see, what was happening here, Elijah sent one of his servants out to go get some meal, some porridge, so he can cook it for the prophets. Well, one of the servants picked some wild gourd, which was poisonous. Well, he didn't know. That was human error. And it caused poison to be in the pot of porridge. Human error. The second reason why people get sick is because of satanic oppression. Acts 10:38 says, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, for God was with him. So here we see Jesus going around healing all, nothing is left out of all. The third reason why people get sick is because of birth infirmities. John 9:2-3 says, And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So here we see a man that was born blind. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So in other words, Jesus is saying, look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how this man got blind. The truth of the matter is, this man needs to be healed. The word of God, the works of God need to be manifested in his life, and that is that he be made to see. The fourth reason why people get sick is because of other infirmities. Luke 13:11-12 talks about the woman that had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. This woman was bowed down and could not lift herself up. Jesus saw her and he called to her and he says, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. So there are four reasons why people get sick. Human error, satanic oppression, birth infirmities, and other infirmity. It does not matter how sickness and disease comes. The will of God is that you be healed. The will of God is for you to be healed. Now, in those four points that I told you, never did I say God. God does not cause sickness and disease. So let me give you several ways that healing is ministered to according to scripture, and that'll take us to our third point. Number one is healing is ministered according to scripture by scriptural gifts of healing, and that can be found in 1 Corinthians 12:9. It says, to another faith by the same spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same spirit. The second way healing is ministered according to scripture is by the anointing with oil. James 5:14 says, Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The third way healing is ministered to according to scripture is by prayer cloths. Acts 19:11 says, And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. The fourth way healing is ministered to, according to scripture, is the laying on of hands. Mark 16:17-18 says, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. The fifth way healing is ministered to is by speaking the word of God. Mark 11:23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." So you can speak to sickness and tell sickness to go in the name of Jesus. The sixth way healing is ministered, according to scripture, is the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." And then lastly, the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven." Hallelujah. It is the will of God that you be healed. Lesson 5, the promise to honor our faith. Don't forget to get your Bibles now. The objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the promise to honor our faith. What is faith? Faith is the creative power of God made available to man, whereby man can change situations and conditions in the natural over which he has been given authority. So God has promised to honor our faith. Let's talk about understanding the principle of faith, because that's essential. First of all, let's look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Underline that. That we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So all of the promises of God are received by faith. That's principle number one. All of the promises of God are received by faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to even please God without faith. Secondly, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So faith will begin where the will of God is known. Your faith will cause you to overcome every situation that you encounter. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So we overcome every situation by our faith. And one thing we can be confident in is that God confirms his word. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following." So God will confirm his word. Let's talk about the faith process. First of all, you have to ask. You have to ask in prayer. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 11:1-2, because I want you to see this. Prayer must be spoken. I know you've heard there's silent prayer, but let's look and see what the word of God says. We can agree on that whatever the word God says, that's what we'll do. Luke 11:1-2 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them," this is Jesus now, "he said unto them, when you pray, say," circle that word, say, S-A-Y, "when you pray, say, So I don't know. I've been out of school a long time, but I still believe that the word say means that you have to open your mouth and speak. Am I right? Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. So you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, according to John 16:23-24. It says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. This is Jesus. He said, don't ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Isn't that awesome? He wants us to ask so that our joy can be full. That is just amazing. Hallelujah. The second step in understanding the process of faith is you must believe. Biblical believing is to accept something as a fact without having any sense realm evidence. Ephesians 1:3 lets us know that the raw material of every natural blessing exists now. Yeah, let me say that again. The raw material of every natural blessing exists now. Let's read Ephesians 1:3 and look at it. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So whatever you are believing God for, it exists. You believe, you receive when you pray. According to Mark 11:24, that's what the word says. Believe, you receive when you pray. It says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, believing is a matter of your will. You can choose to believe or you can choose not to believe. John 20:24-29 gives us a great example that when Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So Thomas didn't see Jesus, okay? The other disciples did. So the other disciples therefore said unto him, this is them trying to tell Peter, Thomas, all what happened. We've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, this is what Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. So believing, it's a matter of your will. And then look what happened. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them at this time. Then came Jesus, and the doors were shut, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. They must have was startled or something. He said, peace be unto you. Then said he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus wants us to believe without seeing it. Without seeing it. Believe. Believe you receive what you've prayed for, whatever it is. If it's healing, believe that you receive it. If it's a car, if it's a home, if it's the salvation of a loved one, believe you receive it without even having any sense realm evidence. And the third process of the faith process is that of confessing. Now, a definition of confession would be, a faith confession is a statement that I choose to say that is in agreement with the word of God, regardless of my conditions and circumstances. So you're going to be making a statement, not looking at your circumstances. Forget your circumstances, because they temporarily anyway. Okay. So what you want to do is, in spite of your circumstance, you want to continue to speak in agreement with what you believe you receive. then you want to, you have to know that your confession is critical. Your confession is critical. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's critical to you receiving what you're believing for. Your confession is critical. Then you must demonstrate. You must demonstrate your faith with daily actions in agreement with your confessions. Mark 5:27-29 says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment." She did something. "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." So it doesn't matter whatever the situation you're going through. Demonstrate some daily actions that's in agreement. If you're on your sick bed and all you can do is wiggle your little toe, you wiggle your little toe, big toe if need be, wiggle it, do something. If you're believing for a car, believing for a house, go look at least. Doesn't hurt to go look, does it? No, go look, and then expect. Live consistently in daily expectations of the manifestation of your faith desires. Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut out." When you're in expectation, expect a plan of action. Expect the favor of God. Expect the wisdom of God, and expect a miracle, and expect the strength to endure until things change. Glory be to God. Lesson 6, the promise of answered prayer. And the objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the promise of answered prayer. Prayer is communicating or talking with God. Prayer is two ways. God talks, you listen, you talk, God listens. Prayer is two way. Believers have been instructed to pray. Luke 18:1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint." So, you as a believer should pray. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You should have a prayer life. God always answers in the affirmative to all prayers made to him when they are made in agreement with his word. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence." You can have confidence that he's going to answer it, because he says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." So you can be confident that God hears your prayer. Prayer must be spoken. We just read that in a prior lesson, but prayer must be spoken. In Luke 11:1-2, he says, "When you pray, say." When you pray, say. Let me give you 7 types of prayer. Number 1 is binding and loosing. Matthew 18:18 says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So, binding and loosing is the first type of prayer. The second type is thanksgiving and praise. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." The third type of prayer is the prayer of committal. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So you shouldn't be caring for anything. Cast that care on God. Commit that to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Cast down all vain imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you commit every negative thought. You commit those things to God. The fourth type of prayer is that of intercession. This is where you are expressing concern for the needs of others. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. So we're going to express concern for the needs of others. You can pray in the understanding, or you can pray in your prayer language. But intercession needs to be made. Then the fifth type is the prayer of petition. This is where you are expressing your concern, written or formally. 1 Samuel 1:27 says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. The prayer of petition. And then the sixth type of prayer is that of agreement. This is to be on one accord, to correspond with, or to harmonize. Acts 15:15 says, and to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written. And then Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. That's the prayer of agreement. Now, only thing about the prayer of agreement, make sure when you get somebody to be in agreement with you, that this person is really in agreement with you. Because if you're believing for a 4-bedroom house, and they don't think you should have a 4-bedroom house, then that may not be the person that you need to be get in agreement with you, because they know your situation and stuff. So they'll probably say, you don't need, they won't tell you. they'll go and tell somebody else. I don't know why she believing for a 4-bedroom house. She needs to be glad she get a 1-bedroom. That's not the person that you need. So make sure that the person you get will be in agreement with you and not against you. Then the last type of prayer is that of dedication and worship. That's found in 1 Chronicles 16:29. And it says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Hallelujah. Give God the glory that's due his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Hallelujah. This is where you just want to pour your praise out on the Lord. Hallelujah. You just want to thank him. You just want to worship him for who he is, because he's so worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the glory. Glory, hallelujah to your name, Father. What a wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah to your name. Lesson 7, the promise of natural and material prosperity. The objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the promise. Lesson 7, the promise of natural and material prosperity. Now, I really, really, really want you to get your Bible and follow along with me. I really want you to get your Bible and look at these scriptures this time. Really. The objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the promise of natural and material prosperity. Let me give you a definition of prosperity. Prosperity is to live a fulfilled life with all of your spiritual needs met, emotional needs met, natural needs met, in abundance. In abundance. All of your needs met. Spiritual, emotional, natural needs met. In abundance. So let's talk about God's will for the believer's prosperity. It is the will of God that you prosper. His will can be found in Scripture. Look at Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Look like God wants us to have good success. Looks like he wants us to prosper. That's what that scripture. I know you're saying that's just one scripture. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8:18 then. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So he gives you power to get wealth. If he didn't want you to have
prosperity, why would he give you power to get wealth?
Let's look at another scripture. Job 36 and 11. This one gonna get you. This one gonna convince you. Job 36 and 11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, hallelujah, and their years in pleasure. I don't know about you, but I want to spend my days in prosperity, and I want to spend the rest of my years in pleasure. And I believe you would too. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, there it is again, and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So God's will is that we prosper. Well, why is there such a big controversy about prosperity? Number one, it's because of a lack of knowledge. You know, the Bible says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. A lot of people don't have the knowledge about prosperity. But just reading just from these four scriptures, you could see that God wants us to prosper. You know, some people take it to the extreme. Everybody, you know, but see, everybody will not be a millionaire. And that's to the extreme. Everybody won't be a millionaire. But it is God's will for us to prosper. Giving is God's plan to bring increase in your life. Giving is God's plan to bring increase in your life. Giving promises a faith entitlement for you to prosper. When you give, there's an entitlement for you to prosper. It's sort of like a cause and effect type of deal. If you do this, then you can expect that. If you do this, you can get that. Let's start off with some of the giving plans that God has already outlined in Scripture. And the first one would be tithe. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to you to receive it. So, what am I entitled to if I bring the tithe? The Bible says that you will get wisdom, insight into financial affairs. So, a part of your confession is, Father, I thank you for wisdom and insight into financial affairs. See, because you are a tither, you are entitled to wisdom and insight. Now, remember, in other lessons, I said in Galatians 3:13 that all the promises of God are received by faith. So that means that you have to receive this by faith. You have to have a faith confession that's in line so that you can receive it. So your faith confession would be, Father, I thank you for wisdom and insight in financial affairs. The second giving plan is that of ministerial support. Philippians 4:17 and 19 says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God, listen to the entitlement, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So when you give to the man and woman of God, that's ministerial support to your pastor, you can now confess that God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Many people confess that scripture that God supplies all my need, but the entitlement is for those that give for the ministerial support. That's just what the word says now. Okay, the third giving is that of missions. Mark 10:29-30. Now, here at this church, our TV ministry serves as our outreach. As our mission outreach. And then, of course, Bishop goes to Africa. And so that's also a part of our mission trips. So Mark 10:29-30 says, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold." Look, that's the entitlement. 100-fold. "Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life." So when you give toward the mission, you have a right to confess the 100-fold return on those gifts that's given for the missions. The fourth giving plan is that of debt reduction. Matthew 17:24-27 says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doeth not your masters pay tribute? He said, Yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, Of strangers. Jesus said unto him, Then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee." So when you give to the debt reduction of this ministry, that's when you know we're doing the surge offering, okay? And the surge offering is to help get rid of the debt. So when you give to the surge offering, you have a right to confess debt cancellation in your own life. No student loan, those taxes loans that's due. You got a right to believe for debt cancellation in your own life. And then the fifth plan for giving is that of vow and pay principle. Job 22:27-28 says, "Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." So the vow and pay principle, you know, we just had a big giving where we raised over $1 million. Well, that was a vow and pay principle. You have a right now to confess that whatever you decree, it shall be established, and the light shall shine upon. You have a right to that now because you sold into the big giving that we just had. Now, again, let me say Galatians 3:13, because all of the promises of God are received by faith. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So all of the promises of God are received by faith. Hallelujah. Lesson 8, the biblical heritage factor. And the objective of this lesson is to provide a brief introduction to the biblical heritage factor. Now, the reason why this lesson was written by Bishop was to correct the lie of religious misrepresentation. The lie was that blacks had not contributed to the plan of God. But the Holy Spirit has carefully tracked the place that blacks had in the plan of God. So we as blacks are not a forgotten race, as it were. We were just left out. And so Bishop have wrote this lesson so that we will know that we were not left out of the plan of God. Now, we hold a very important place in the plan of God. Now, one thing I do want you to know with this lesson is color does not provide kingdom principles. I've said it several times. All of the promises of God are received by faith. And God is no respecter of person. He honors faith. God honors faith. We are all one in Christ. So the purpose of this lesson is not to try to single any one person out or anything. It's just to correct the lie. Bishop have written a book called The Hidden Lie. And you can purchase that book in the bookstore if you like, about the biblical heritage factor. And you can read all about the biblical heritage factor in that book. Praise the Lord. Lesson 9. And this is an exciting lesson because by now you're ready to get involved. I know you're ready to get involved. This lesson is how to get involved in your church. And this objective is to provide information on how to get involved in your church. Now, believers have been set in a local church. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." So God have set you in the body of Christ, in the body, this body of church, this ministry. God has set you here, okay? And it pleases him that you are here. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." So he set you in the body. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So God has set you in the body of Christ. He has set you in this ministry. And your purpose in the body of Christ is to do a good work. Our purpose in the body of Christ is to do a good work. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So even before we got saved, before we knew anything, God had already preordained that we should do a good work. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And once they see your good works, guess what happens? They will glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when you are busy doing the good works, others will see and give God the glory. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And look, God gives you grace. Whatever God has called you to do, he gives you the grace to carry it out. So you have no excuse that I don't know how to do this, or I don't know. God gives you the grace to do it. You have been empowered by God. You have been equipped by God to do the work of the ministry. We have in our ministry the power of 12. And that's our saint to saint ministry. And you need to be a part of it. If you're not a part of a Circle of Light group, a Power 12 group, it's time to get involved so you can be involved in saint-to-saint ministry. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So you need to get involved, so that you can be a part of edifying the body of Christ, so that you can be a part of working in the ministry. Romans 15:7 says, "Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ has also received us to the glory of God." So you should be active in your church. Active in your church. Whatever you believe God is calling you to, that's where you go. If you believe it's the nursery, go to the nursery. If you believe that it's in the children's ministry, go to the children's ministry. If you believe it's in the choir, go to the choir. If you believe it's ushering, go to ushering. But by all means, do get involved. Don't sit on the guidelines. We need you. See, we need the gift that God has placed on the inside of you. Whatever God has placed on the inside of you, don't rob us of it, because we need that gift that God has placed on the inside of you. Remember, I read early it when I said that we are fitly joined together, the whole body fitly joined together. See, what happens when you don't get involved or others don't get involved is the ministry become handicapped. Just think about this. If there was only three people working in the nursery, then what? You can't, the babies, what about the babies? Who's going to help take care of the babies? The parents can't sit in service and enjoy the service because no one will take their rightful place in what they've been called to. So don't sit idly on the bench as it is and not do your part. Be a part of the ministry of helps. There are seven productive gifts that each one of us have been endowed with. Romans 12:4-8 gives us a list of those gifts. We may call them productive gifts, or we may call them our foundational gift or our motive gifts. Let me read Romans 12:4-8. And it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, all of us will not do the same thing. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." So whatever gift God has placed on the inside of you, you do it. We all cannot and will not do the same thing. It said prophecy. Prophecy is one who proclaims the word of God without compromise. You may have that gift. Then you may have the ministry gift. That's a servant. This is a person who ministers to the needs of others. Or you may have the teacher. The teacher has the gift of imparting truth in a systematic manner. Or you may be the exhorter. This is the one that encourages in the body of Christ, sort of like the cheerleader of the body of Christ. Then you have the giver. That's the person who transfers freely that which is his or her own to a permanent possession of another without asking anything in return. And then you have the leader. This is a person who motivates others toward a common cause. We saw that with our bishop and first lady. They encourage us. They motivated us toward a common cause. And then we have the mercy giver. That's the person who possesses compassion and is moved to action with the power to respond to a need. So wherever your gift best fits, that's where you need to be. The excellence ministry team needs you. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Remember that you and your gift are important, and the Excellence Ministry team has a place and a need for you. Glory to God.